the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, everybody, Chad Millman, you know the rule. I give him the 8 lines in the NFL that interest me on Sunday. I'll pick 5 that will eventually make it on the Herd's Blazing 5. But first, fake questions, real answers. There's things I want to talk about. I don't want to wait for you to ask me the question. So here we go. Dear Colin, when discussing Aaron Rodgers, you called him a SoCal guy. People were oh so quick to remind you he's from Northern California. But doesn't the fact that he owns a $28 million mansion in Malibu make him a SoCal guy? A great question, and that's right. When you're rich, where you buy a home matters because you have limitless options if you're Aaron Rodgers. You could build and buy anywhere. He sees himself as more artist than he does tech savant. He didn't choose to live in Northern California. He chose, with financial options at his disposal, to live in Malibu. Malibu is not only in Southern California, it's where many of the stars live. That's how he views himself. He dates Hollywood stars. He is a star. He loves his music. You even see that imprint in his commercials. He may be from NoCal. He is a SoCal guy. Dear Colin, your interview with Tony Dungy this week, which was terrific, by the way. Tony said 2 keys for a successful NFL quarterback, poise and accuracy. If you could add another, what would it be? Something they call twitchiness. Do you have a quickness of mind, quickness of body? You have to be able to figure things out in the NFL as a quarterback very quickly. Some are quick mentally. Peyton Manning. Some can be quick physically. They can run. If you're Russell Wilson, you're both. You're quick mentally and physically. You can't have a slow release in the NFL. They talk about this with Brady all the time. Brady is very quick mentally, but it would be useless if he didn't have a quick release. So Brady's release from the minute he starts the motion to the time the ball's let go is less than 4/10 of a second. You have to be quick in this league. It's why Tim Tebow and his fanboys never got it. He had a really slow release, almost a second. You can't do that. The windows are not vast. They're very small, and they close quickly. So twitchiness, the ability to either think quickly cognitively or have an innate instinct physically. And in the case of Russell Wilson, I think he has both. Dear Colin, you were a supporter of the NFL's taunting penalties, but now you seem to think they're getting a little out of hand. Are you changing your mind or sticking with your original and usually dead-on sharp instincts? Well, it's fluid. Everybody's always looking for a right and a wrong. Over the course of time, we had a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, and then we have a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit. People are seeking the right answer. I'm always concerned about the intent. The intent is to avoid a brawl or mayhem, as rare as they may be. There's a lot of things we do on airplanes. You ever notice that? Put your seat upright. Really? I'm going to survive the crash if the seat is upright. What is the intent of that? Insurance. Your inability to sue an airline, perhaps, because you're in somebody's lap behind you. What's the intent of the taunting rule? To avoid a fight and or a brawl, as rare as that may be. Putting your seat up during a landing, we're not sure it's ever saved a life in a crash landing, but I understand the intent of it. Dear Colin, what is currently the most underrated program in all of college football? You know, that's interesting because sometimes something gets a label as overrated, so people stop talking about it. And then after a while, it becomes underrated. The same thing. Maybe a product. Maybe a city. I mean, Seattle had a point where it was the next LA. I mean, there was the 80s, Microsoft, the population boom. Like, Seattle was chronically underrated. Now, it's been underrated for so long, it's still wet 300 days a year. It's a tad overrated. It's damp and gray all the time. And I'm from there. I mean, outside of Alabama, I think Notre Dame is right now the most underrated program in college football, because I think there's a vast number of people in the Midwest and South that think it's overrated. Gang, they went toe-to-toe with Georgia in back-to-back years. Could have won both. One possession games. Field goal games. Well, outside of Alabama, who's beaten Georgia regularly? So if you can go toe-to-toe with Georgia, I think there's about 5 to 6 programs in the country that could. Bama, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. Certainly nobody right now out west. I think Notre Dame is now an underrated program, though overrated for most of my adult life. Dear Colin, you're talking a lot about the USC job. Nobody cares about the USC job. Well, that's a bad question and a bad statement. Folks, any job in America where you can be based in Los Angeles and make somewhere between $8 and $10 million a year, it's going to be of interest to professionals. Do you know the number of football jobs in America? You have 130 Division I programs. 6 would consider paying you $8 million a year. In the NFL, 5 or 6 owners would pay $8 million a year. There's maybe 10 jobs, maybe 12, that are going to pay what USC is going to pay. And every time USC gets the right coach, they win or vie for national championships. USC is going to steal your girlfriend. Get used to it. They're going to steal your football coach. They're not going to hire an unemployed guy. The chances of that are probably remote. They're going to hire whoever they want to hire, because nothing against James Franklin at Penn State. Penn State's in rural Pennsylvania. They're not in a state with half as many players, high school stars, as Los Angeles. Luke Fickell, if they want him, they'll have him. Dan Campbell, want him, they'll have him. Very few places in the country in college football, USC can't steal your coach. I don't think they'll steal Mario Cristobal at Oregon because of their relationship with Phil Knight. That's the only job, to me, west of Denver, they couldn't steal a coach. They're not going to get Saban, he's 70. They're not going to get Sark because he just committed to Texas. But they can get anybody virtually they want. $10 million and living on the beach in LA. The wife likes it. The kids like it. The coach likes it. And they will win instantly because the Pac-12 has never, ever been weaker. All right, everybody. This is our Friday podcast for the next 20 weeks. Chad Millman, Chief Content Officer for the Action Network. First 2 weeks, I did okay. Not great. Sub 500. Why? Didn't love the lines. I think this is the best week of line so far. In fact, I've already made 3 bets, and I think I got the better line in all of them. So we'll talk about that for the next 20 minutes with Chad Millman. Let's start with this. I bet the Washington football team plus 8.5. It's now down to 7. So I think I got a much better line. So whereas on the Blazing 5, I'm going to use the line that's available now. I already bet this at 8.5. Josh Allen's accuracy, little troubling. It's reverted back about 12 months. He struggled with it. And the Washington football team, awful loss. One of the things that jumps out to me is this is a very talented defensive front that is yet to play well. I think there's a sense of, let's get our shit together. Ron Rivera is going to be on these guys. They also know now that with Taylor Heinicke, it's not as dynamic an offense. They have to play better. I love the Washington football team at the number I got. I still think they're the side plus 7, though I don't feel that with as much conviction. Your thoughts? Sharp or square?
That is 100% sharp at the 8.5. It opened at 9.5. As you noted, it's moved down to 7. No longer getting the best of the number. 100%, 8.5, sharp play. On the favorites, the podcast that I do with professional bettor Simon Hunter on the Volume Podcast Network, We will talk about every game on the slate on our Tuesday show. And inevitably, before the Thursday show, Simon, who lived in Vegas forever and now bets professionally in New Jersey, knows all the wise guys. He will get calls from everybody in Vegas saying, I like this pick. I don't like this pick. You're not seeing the board on this pick, whatever it is. The game we got the most calls about from Tuesday to Thursday this week was the Washington football team, which we talked about on Tuesday. And by Thursday, the line had moved, as you discussed, considerably. This was the sharp play of the early to midweek for the NFL, for professional bettors. The Washington football team defense, let's get this out of the way. Everyone thought they would be amazing. Everyone thought their front four was on the path to becoming historically great. They have not been. They were incredibly disappointing against the Chargers in week one. They were incredibly disappointing against the Giants in week two. Their secondary is dreadful, amongst the worst in the league, but some stats working in their favor. For one, Ron Rivera, his teams play it close. And in his tenure with the Washington football team, only four of his games have been decided by more than 8 points in either direction. Second, and this is big, really big, the Bills just blew out the Miami Dolphins, right? Massive, massive win. Since 2003, favorites off of wins of 35 points or more, like the Bills, cover at just a 42% clip. And this isn't some sample size. It's like five games. We're talking about well over 100 games in the sample size. So there's enough there to make you feel comfortable about what precedent is telling you this situation looks like. I will say in September, obviously it's a much smaller sample size, but the bettors and the tend to overreact the most to blowouts. So in September, there's only been about 11 games. Those favorites have only covered once. So you're on the right side. The precedent is on the right side. I do think what you said about Josh Allen is accurate. From market to trends to field, you were on the right side.
I'm going to throw another game at you. Chargers at the Chiefs. I would take Kansas City -6.5. First of all, they're off a loss. Andy Reid bounces back off losses. Second of all, the Chargers looked a lot like Anthony Lynn, which is, oh, they outplayed a team, but had a bunch of penalties, hit a crossbar, and screwed themselves late. Until I can be assured that the Chargers are different than they've been for several years, which is talented, but give games away, I am not betting them. Also, Andy Reid has had his number against the Chargers. I don't love the fact that Kansas City's run defense has been gashed. But I also have to acknowledge that Cleveland and Baltimore may have the two best run offenses. So let's not overreact to that. Kansas City's defense is healthier. I take the Chiefs at -6.5.
All right. This is 100% the square play. The Chargers are everything you want in a wise guy play. In fact, the majority of the bets right now are coming in on the Chiefs. The line has still moved down to 6.5. It's moving in the Chargers' direction. And here's the thing about the Chiefs. And everyone has always said, Andy Reid off a bye. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in September. It's impossible to beat them. Everything is impossible until it's not impossible anymore. And we saw last week with the Ravens, it's not impossible to beat the Chiefs in September with this defense that is really terrible. They were statistically 31st in DVOA last year. That's a fancy metric to say you're not very good and measure strength of schedule and sort of every single down statistic. They were terrible last year. They are worse this year. They could not stop the pass. They could not stop the run against the Ravens, right? So the Chiefs are always going to come in overinflated, because bookmakers know that squares are going to take whatever the number is. The line pro bettors are making in this game is more like 3.5 or 4. So as a Chargers bettor, you are getting about 2.5 to 3 points of value. Also, excluding a meaningless week 17 game last year, the Chiefs are 1-8 in their last 9 games against the spread. All of those games have been one score. And that's because they consistently are overinflated. Finally, I will give you this trend, which has about 800 games in it. And it's applicable to a couple games this weekend. Divisional games are always close. And the Chargers and the Chiefs have been playing one score games the past couple of years, Anthony Lynn or not. Since 2003, divisional dogs, three or more. 408, 358, 18 against the spread. It's a little north of 53%, which is about what you need to be a profitable bettor.
All right.
Play the Chargers in this one, Colin. Just play the Chargers.
Biggest game of week three, Monday night matchup, Eagles and Dallas. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is going to give new customers 30-1 odds. 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means $150 on a $5 bet. I like the Eagles plus 3.5. I thought they had a very good loss to the San Francisco 49ers. I also think they're hard to judge early because of the improvement week to week of Jalen Hurts. I think Dallas was lucky to win. They're overvalued. Eagles undervalued. I like FanDuel Sportsbook, number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use, safe and secure, fast payouts within 24 hours. Sign up now, promo code Colin, this week before Dallas takes on Philly. Win $150 on a $5 bet. How sweet is that? Remember to use the code COLIN so they know we sent you and you can win. COLIN. And if you're in Michigan, make sure you check out this week's Can't Miss Spread the Love offer on the Michigan-Rutgers game. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee red line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. All right, here's the other one I've already bet. I got a better number. This week, all the numbers, the good numbers, were on Monday and Tuesday for me. So I took the Patriots minus 2.5 at home against the Saints. And my takeaway simply is, this is why I bet against the Saints last week. They're now a month out of their facility. They're in hotels. This is not a Drew Brees Saints team. They've got multiple injuries like they had last week. New England and Bill Belichick not only eat young quarterbacks, they eat turnover-prone quarterbacks for lunch. This is still a very, very limited receiving core. I don't trust Jameis against Belichick. And I think actually New England, because they played so many starters in preseason, I've got a good sense of what they are. It's going to be a fairly low scoring game, but at 2.5, I love New England. At 3, I'd stomach it. I think they win by about 4-6. I'll take the Patriots here.
So at 2.5, it is 100% the sharp play. Like, that is the number you want to get the home team at less than a field goal. You want to get a home team like the Patriots that play close games. They aren't going to turn the ball over. And more importantly, they control the trenches, right? So that's what you saw Carolina did against New Orleans and what you saw Green Bay not do against New Orleans. So when Jameis Winston had all the time in the world, the Saints were successful because he was able to see down the field and pick apart the Packers' secondary. When the Carolina Panthers controlled the trenches, all of a sudden, Jameis, he's not as good. He goes back to being the old Jameis. And if the Patriots can do anything right now, what Bill Belichick did with this team, we've talked about this, build from the inside out. And that's what he's been doing. Offensive line, defensive line, they will control the trenches. I like it at 2.5. It's a pass for me at 3. I would stay away just because it's right on a key number and there's no value. And as you noted, you got to play the hook one way or the other.
Okay. I've got, by the way, I love the numbers this week. I already bet this game. I got a better number at 3.5. Bengals, outright winner over the Steelers. Ben is hurt. They get no push offensively. Joe Burrow had one of his worst halves as a pro. He's a bounce back kid. The Bengals don't let you beat them over the top. I think they're pretty effective there. This to me is an easy one. Burrow's been largely effective with or without pressure. And the Steelers will have pressure, but not as much without TJ Watt. And by the way, Ben hasn't been throwing at practice this week. Okay, so this is a bad offense when he could throw. I think this is one of the better bets on the board. Three, again, soft for me, but I got him at 3.5. I love the Bengals outright to win.
You are getting too smart for an average sharp square.
Okay, see, I've been seeking accreditation. So yeah, can I at least apply?
Listen, at this point, your diploma is like within reach, okay? You are standing on the high dive. You are ready to jump off.
I'm like third in line at DMV. I can see, hear the breathing of the lady behind the glass.
You are so close. Because you know what's interesting? Honestly, like this is a little inside media baseball, but I think people would appreciate it. You and I have been talking about betting for years, right? And yeah, we used to do the segment when we were doing Colin's football show at ESPN. Yeah. And if I would come on the radio with you or whatever it was, we would do sharp and square. And you would ask me about games on Sunday morning. And we're talking about games where I know the line that I'm telling people isn't nearly as good because you could have gotten it earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And so now you're betting games when the professional bettors are betting games.
Yeah.
You did it. The Bengals is exactly right. The Washington football team is exactly right. The Patriots is exactly right. This game, the Bengals game opened at 4.5.
Yeah, I didn't get 4.5. I got 3.5. I waited a day and I got burned, but it's a really good side.
It's fine. It's a really good side. And honestly, a lot of professional bettors right now would tell you they'd be comfortable taking the Bengals on the money line, meaning to win outright. And if they can't get this game back to 3.5, which is entirely possible, it won't go that way because the majority of the bets and the money is coming in on the Bengals. They will tell you they'll be comfortable betting the Bengals outright rather than betting the Bengals at a bad number, which is the +3 right now because there's no real advantage. So this was at 4.5. It was a Bengals play. At 4, it was a Bengals play. At 3.5, it was a Bengals play. 100% the sharp side. This was hit immediately. There are a lot of injury concerns for the Steelers, not just what's going on with Ben, what's going on with TJ Watt, what's going on with Devontae Washington, right? The offense has clearly had issues. And I think a lot of us, including you and I, were encouraged by what we saw with the Steelers against the Bills in the second half when Ben was controlling the ball, making the right decisions. They got out of their sort of offensive doldrums and really put it to the Bills in the second half. But what happened last week against the Raiders was seeing that this is a one-dimensional team that really is entirely reliant on play action pass or the run. And that's not going to serve them well now that everybody is understanding that. And a lot of their players are injured. And so, you know, we both liked Pittsburgh last week, but one thing I did mention with Pittsburgh is Mike Tomlin as a favorite against bad teams is a significantly different coach than when he can be rah-rah Mike Tomlin. All those things are combining to create a brew that is why professional bettors like the Bengals so much. And I include you in that category.
Here's the rare game where the Lions gotten better as the week has progressed. Dolphins now +4.5 at the Raiders. And I like the Dolphins at 4.5. I didn't at the 3.5. Here's why. Because when Tua is overvalued by the market, Tua gets hurt and Jacoby Brissett comes in. Well, I would make the argument I like Brissett more than Tua. I like Miami more with Brissett standing. Bigger, stronger, better arm. I think Tua doesn't have the respect of his teammates. I wouldn't be surprised if Brissett wasn't more well-liked in the locker room. He's been well-liked in every locker room. He's been in a total pro, humble. He's a big, strong kid. You can win games. I like the Dolphins +4.5 at the Raiders. Now, I will say the one thing the Raiders are doing, they're getting a tremendous pass rush, as Greg Cosell told me this week, without bringing extra people. And Miami's offensive line is still a work in progress. But the value here, the line's gotten better. I like the Dolphins +4.5 at the Raiders, who are, you know, coming off in a two back-to-back emotional wins. Little bit of a natural letdown playing a backup quarterback at home. I like the Dolphins.
So, so sharp. I don't even know what to say right now. This is a streak of epic proportions. 100% the wise guys love the Dolphins here. The key is what you said about Jacoby Brissett. There is not a single wise guy who is over-adjusting his line on this game because Jacoby Brissett is playing instead of Tua, right? That is a number that the line has moved considerably. It's moved about 1.5 points. there is not a point and a half difference in how professional bettors power rate this number. So now they are getting that significant edge, that point and a half edge on the Dolphins. And also, this is a game where you have to go against the public sentiment. The public is all in on the Raiders after they've upset, and I want to emphasize upset, two teams that had huge public backing. Okay. So now that is that has dramatically changed their perception in the market. It's why the line has moved up so aggressively with the backup quarterback. This is all the betting tickets are on the Raiders right now. This tells you a lot, but the money is split, meaning professional money is coming in and evening out the actual amount of money on the games, even though the public is coming in aggressively with the individual tickets. It's $10 ticket, $10 ticket on the Raiders, $100 ticket, $100 ticket on Miami. Here is a good trend for you. Miami is off of a more than four touchdown loss. So four touchdown loss or more since 2003, covering 62% clip. It's like your instincts are so spot on that if all of these games cover, the apocalypse actually has happened. It's not the pandemic that was the signal. It was you getting sharp.
Okay, so here's my next bet I've already made. I got a better number. I got the Eagles plus four at Dallas. So I already got four. It's down to 3.5. So I'm going to have a big week. Screw blazing five. I'm going to have a great week. And that's why I tell people, listen to this show, because I'm making my bets now earlier. So I got the Eagles plus four. It's now at 3.5 at Dallas. Here's my takeaway. That was a good loss for them. Jalen Hurts is going to face very few defensive fronts that are that aggressive. Philadelphia, Jimmy Garoppolo struggled in the first half. This was an ugly, ugly game. If you take what we perceive Philadelphia to be before the first snap of the year and what we perceived the Niners to be before the first snap of the year, that game had blowout written all over it. No, San Francisco was better, but it was a good loss for Philadelphia. Remember, Jalen Hurts is in the process. He doesn't have very many starts. We're really in a growth arc right now for him. And his ceiling, I think, is lower. But we're not, we're getting, when you haven't done, when you're learning Spanish, the first 6 months, you're taking giant steps. And then you get to a point, it's baby steps. You've learned basic communication. Jalen Hurts is still taking giant steps. He is getting 4 and 5 practices, film study. This guy got yanked last year as a starter. Got yanked. Got benched in a game he was winning. I like the Eagles plus four. It's a division game. I think the Eagles' defensive line is pretty damn good and is going to keep them in some of these games. This is, I don't know if they win, but possible upset. This is a game I've already bet. Eagles plus 3.5 here.
Dude, you are 100% attacking it the right way. The Eagles are absolutely the sharp side. The Eagles were the sharp side last week, and you pointed it out with the Niners. I agree. That was a good loss. You give me that game 10 times with that number in that scenario, I am going to take the Eagles. They were a very public dog last week. What's really interesting to me is that we are getting to a place in football where analytics is meeting courage. There is less and less cover your ass decision-making happening. And that can often play out advantageously for bettors, and sometimes it can hurt you. We saw with the Eagles last week how often they went for it on fourth and goal. A couple of times, if they decide to settle for a field goal, we're having a different conversation about the Eagles being off of a good loss. We saw with the Colts going for it consistently on fourth and goal against the Rams. We saw with Miami, who they ended up losing by 35 points, but there were so many times they went for it inside the goal line. Coaches are realizing, A, 7 points is better than 3 points. B, if you lose by three or you lose by 30, it's still a loss. You might as well go for the win. We saw with the Ravens going for that win against Kansas City. If you get it, then the game is over. You see John Harbaugh on the sideline asking Lamar Jackson, you want to go for it on fourth and one, game over. 100% this is the right side. The number has been moving in the Eagles direction. Candidly, our models have this game projected at Eagles plus two. So for context, that is about a 5% edge between what we projected at and what the number is actually at. Anything that it's 1.5% or higher for a professional bettor is usually a play. And this is also over a key number of three, where a lot of games land, a lot of divisional games, like we just talked about with the Chargers and the Chiefs, with the Bengals and the Steelers. And then finally, just look at the market. Like, the Cowboys beat a team the public and the sharps love in the Chargers, and the Eagles lost as a public dog the week before. So that's why you're getting that edge, that the market is overinflated on one side and underinflated on the other.
All right, here's a game I waited for a number and I didn't get, so I'm going to pass on it, but I want the audience to learn something, and I want to learn something as well. So the Browns were -7.5, and I was waiting for it to go to 8. And if it did, I was going to bet Chicago, because the Bears are getting an interior lineman back. They're getting healthier on defense. And I do think there's an element of surprise with Justin Fields, and the Browns defense, 7 new starters, is clearly a work in progress. The number never went to 8. It came back down to 7. I would pass. So this is one I just kept waiting and waiting. I didn't know what side it would go to. I had no acumen here. I just said, if it goes to 8, I'm going to jump on it. It didn't. It went to 7. I'd pass. So I think it's a pass. But I did think, if you did get 7.5 and you're a Bears fan, that's not a terrible place to be, sharp or square. How does that work for you?
You know that it's sharp if you're telling me I'm getting a underdog at 7.5. If that's the question, that's the sharp play. That was already the sharp play. At 7, you're the professional here. It's not a game the professionals are jumping on at all. This game actually opened at 7. It got that up to 7.5. The pros immediately took the Bears at 7.5. It went all the way down to 6.5. Then the pros took the Browns at -6.5. Now it's landed on 7 and it's just sitting there. And there's really nothing to do. You do have the Justin Fields factor. Either you believe that he is going to be a great quarterback, who, if you watch that game against Cincinnati, he was making professional football throws. He showed incredible speed to the edge. He also held the ball forever. And as much as I'm a huge Bears fan, and I completely think that the Bears should be playing Justin Fields, I think that he gives them the best chance to win. I think if you're in the locker room, you're looking at Matt Nagy and you're thinking, why aren't you putting the best guy in the field to help us win football games? I do think the one thing Andy Dalton has always been good at is getting the ball out fast. He is top 5 in fastest release the past 5 seasons, according to Next Gen Stats. And Justin Fields did hold the ball way too long in that game last weekend, and a couple times it did cost him. So I understand why the number is bouncing around, why it's landing on 7. And I got to tell you, like, we're talking about the Browns defense, it's okay, but you give me a pass rush with its ears pinned back that starves Myles Garrett against a rookie QB on the road who holds the ball too long and is still processing in real time. I would have to take the Browns or pass. And I'm at 7, I'm going to pass.
Here's another one I did not bet, but I strongly considered. I strongly considered taking the Seahawks -2.5 at the Vikings. My concern is Minnesota is going to be in a lot of shootouts because they're, like, right now the top 6 offense. And the Seahawks have played mostly good football. They played a very good opener. They played a very good half against Tennessee. They had a lousy fourth quarter. So let's not jump off the Seahawks bandwagon. But I do think Minnesota is a desperate football team. At home, getting points, I stay away from this game. I think Seattle wins. I just don't like the number. If it was Pick'em, I'd take Seattle. Maybe it's 1. But I'm going to stay away from it. I don't like betting against coaches I respect and offenses that are capable at home. And they're desperate. I'm just not comfortable going. I'm not comfortable. But I thought I wanted to explain this to people listening because I think this is a game I considered, and I got a coach I like. I got an offense I like. They're at home and they're desperate. I'm staying away from it.
It is, to me, it is the hardest game on the board. And you know what's interesting? Normally, you know, you and I will talk during the week, and I think we didn't connect earlier this week because I was traveling this week, but I didn't know you were going to come at me with all these games until about midday today. And so I was doing a little bit of work, and I saw this game and I thought you were going to take the Seahawks. I think, and I wrote in my notes, Minnesota's the sharp side in this game at +2.5, but it is a really hard game to handicap. And it sort of brings together everything that professional bettors think about. 33% of the bets are coming in on the Vikings, but they're getting 60% of the money. That is a classic pros Joe's formula. The Vikings are 0-2. 0-2 teams at home. The betting public overadjusts too quickly, which leaves you an opportunity. Mike Zimmer, off of the loss against the spread, you mentioned respecting coaches, amongst the best coaches in the NFL. He gets his team ready to play, and they are almost always in these games until the end. You saw it last week against Arizona, same spot, right? So you have to ask yourself, did they lose to a better than expected Bengals team? Did they lose on a fluke to a better than expected Cardinal team? Are they actually not that good? Like, their corners are awful. They're going against Russell Wilson, TJ Lockett, DK Metcalf, and their D-line struggles against mobile quarterbacks. So you've got a lot of market conditions, a lot of trends in their favor, but on the field, you might have a team in Seattle that is actually just better than they are, and their strengths match up against the Vikings' weaknesses, which is why I agree with you. I'm walking away from this game.
So I really like my picks this week.
And I'll have to. Them.
Yeah, no, I think there are weeks I saw it, and it happens about 3 or 4 times a year. When I look up Monday, I'm like, holy shit, these are great lines. And I bet all of them. And I got better numbers with all of them except Miami, which I think later in the week I got half a point. So I didn't bet that. But the three I jumped on was the Washington football team. I jumped on the Patriots. I jumped on the Bengals. And I jumped on the Eagles. Those games, they just screamed. You know, it was funny because last week, I told you this. It was a weird week. I could talk myself in and out of stuff. This week, great.
Sometimes you see the board clearly, you know? And it's a joy when you feel like, and these opportunities really come the most in the first 4 weeks, because that's when people are overreacting to certain things they see on the field, or they're not seeing every game. So they're only reacting to what they see as the final score. The Eagles-Cowboys game is a perfect example of that. I think the Chargers, like, I'm probably not with you on the Chiefs on that one. That is going to be the sharp side. Can I interest you in any Jacksonville Jaguars +7.5 at home?
Oh, boy. You know, I never liked arugula, and so I never experimented with it. And so I don't have the kind of personality that I feel a need to try things that I don't like. So I don't like the Jaguars. I feel no need to jump on that, and that's my personality. I don't drink rum. I have no interest to ever try rum. And so I'm never going to jump out of a plane. It doesn't interest me. So a lot of people have these cravings, and I do not. And so I am not going to touch Jacksonville. And let me guess, you love them this week.
No, it's funny. Look, they're definitely the sharp side. And I feel like in every conversation you and I have ever had about betting, I will tell you Jacksonville is the sharp side. And this is the first weekend in which I'm looking at Jacksonville and thinking, of course, they're the sharp side. You know, they're an 0-2 team, huge underdog at home. Every single trend system, every single marking condition is lining up to bet on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I can't do it because I think Urban Meyer is so bad. I think what that conversation that was picked up with Vic Fangio, and then Vic Fangio talking about it every week, we're playing Alabama. Like, no shit, dude. What did you think? Like, you're going to get Akron every once in a while? You've got the worst team in the NFL with a quarterback who's a rookie, and you're out of your depth. Every week is Alabama. Every week is the freaking Patriots for you. It gave me a huge lack of confidence in betting the Jacksonville Jaguars as underdogs.
Do you think Urban, if he goes 1-16, will quit?
Dude, if he goes 1-11, he might quit. It would not surprise me at all if he did not make it through this season.
You know what? So I don't think he is, but I have a friend who knows Urban and has dealt with him for years. He's a Midwest Big Ten guy, and says, and he told me this week, he goes, don't shake off USC. He goes, if this thing is 1-16 and Shad Khan gets wacky, he goes, Urban will bolt in a second. So I don't think it's going to happen, but it is interesting. You know, 0-8 may not work. Just 0-8. So I don't think the USC thing is in play. But, you know, like everything else, most of life is fluid. You know, one of the things I tell my kids all the time, something isn't true until it's true. You know, you just don't know. Like you look at stuff and you go, that's not true. And then it happens. And there are surprises every day in the world. And you're like, whoa, like it is true. And so I at this point, I don't give USC any shot. But Urban is mobile. He's a very mobile coach.
As we said in the beginning of the show, in relation to the Chiefs in September and losing, everything is impossible until it's no longer impossible. Urban Meyer leaving in the middle of the season would not be impossible to me.
God.
That's it. That's it. That's all I got to say. I got one more thing for you. As you know, we've gifted you an entry into the Survivor pool.
I won last week, too.
You're doing great. You're killing it. You are going to win a lot of money off this. I'm excited for you. This week, we've decided, it's Thursday afternoon when we record this. I know this comes out on Friday, so people will know the answer. But it came down today to the Panthers and the Broncos. And the feeling is that we won't get a chance to use the Panthers again. There might be situations in which their schedule is more difficult at the end of the year. So we've decided to take a shot. It's always scary to take a big road favorite on a Thursday night game, but we're going with the Panthers.
Yeah, I don't love it as a lock, but I will say this. The Texans are now down to the backup to their backup. So, and Matt Rhule has jumped out to two quick leads with Darnold, and that's so he's a good schemer. And Sam with a lead in a running game is a different quarterback than Sam trailing in New York with no running game. You know, also, I don't know if I told you this last week. There's a remarkable NFL stat with Matt Rhule. It doesn't even make sense. With two starts with Sam Darnold and 16 or 17 with Teddy Bridgewater, he has the fewest three and outs in the NFL since the beginning of last year. Not Mahomes, not Rodgers, not Brady, not Russell. Matt Rhule. This is a really sharp coach. Darnold is throwing to open receivers in single coverage. Like Darnold's just not throwing into double coverage, which was his propensity in New York. People are schemed open. He's mostly going to his first reads. Watch him. It's three-step, balls out, first read, guy open. That's coaching.
You know what's really interesting? And I know we got to get going, but what's really interesting is the opportunity with the Panthers. I loved them going into the season. Simon Hunter, my co-host, loved them going into the season. We thought this was a team that is incredibly well coached and was going to be undervalued because of what they did last year. So of course, week one, love them against the Jets. They cover just inside the number. The number had bounced around from 5.5. When it got down to 4, we bet them at 4. They won by 5 against the Jets. Last week, we felt like great opportunity, home underdog against the Saints, pound the Carolina Panthers. Love it. Immediately, when that game started, I knew the opportunity to make money on the Panthers for professional bettors was over. No more value. It's gone. That timeline for getting to take advantage of teams where you think you're going to see value before the market catches up is over. You mentioned FanDuel before. You mentioned Action Network before. There's so many more casual bettors in the market who are betting real money, and it's changing the movement of these lines. You got to get in early if you want to get the 4.5 on the Bengals, if you want to get the number on the Patriots. And we're seeing everything accelerate. It's getting harder and harder to maintain the value.
All right, my friend. I feel very strong about this week. I want to make some people some money. I got better numbers early, but nonetheless, I like my sides.
Me too, brother.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later.
That's Chad Millman, Chief Content Officer, Action Network. Go follow us at The Volume Sports, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Rate, review, subscribe. Good stuff. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back.
the volume.